Well, every year or so, I have a physical. And they go in and they check height, weight, and all that kind of good stuff. And about a year and a half ago, we did the typical hearing test. You know, they put those earphone things on, and then the guy sits there and makes some noise, and you raise your hand. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. And then I sat and I waited, and I thought it was over. He said, "Did you hear that? What?" I thought he was messing with me. Well, this year that same thing happened. Yeah. Uh-oh. I couldn't hear that fourth tone, and the doctor suggested I make an appointment with the audiologist. Well, I now understand why Kim and the kids are always saying things like, "I'm going to slice possum patty side dish." "Cold is with the monkey's ears and toes." "Cats, dogs, and babies, it's Tuesday." They've been saying goofy stuff like that for several years just to mess me up or not. It turns out I've got some upper range, high tone hearing loss. I was not thrilled to hear that. I have a hard time, especially in the car, with these littler voices talking. And it's frustrating because I've always taken really good care of my ears. I use ear protection on power tools, when shooting, even when mowing the lawn, I put these things on. And I'm still losing it. It drives me crazy. It turns out I'm borderline, just this side, in my opinion, of needing hearing aids. It happened so gradually, I wasn't aware of it. But there's clearly an issue. And that explains a lot. Why, when Kim has asked me to do things and I didn't do them and she's upset and I say, "I never heard that." That's part of the answer. It also clears up why when I go to the kids' door and I knock and they don't answer, so I knock again and say, "Hey," and I knock again and they go, "Hey," and then they yell back and I get yell at them because they just yelled at me disrespectfully. Oh, maybe they did respond. This hearing loss thing is no fun. It impacts a lot. It's had a negative impact on my relationships, made my life awkward, though it maybe has made going to sleep easier. I don't know. But the Bible talks a lot about our senses. I'm not talking about your snoring. I'm talking about the children making noise. Oh, I hope it gets better. But it talks a lot about the senses in the Bible. It talks a lot about hearing. And it's warm, too. But the most important prayer in the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And the word "hear" actually means obey. The implication is if you hear the words, they will enter your mind and you will actually do something with them. For the Hebrews, it didn't make sense to hear something and not do what was being said. And, you know, it's kind of like the stereotypical husband reading the newspaper, ignoring his wife at the breakfast table. The wife's chatting away, and then so she realizes he's not paying attention, even though he keeps saying, So she says, "I'm going to go to the mall, and I'm going to max out both credit cards. Are you okay with that?" Woohoo! Off she goes. And then what's he going to say? Well, you know, Jesus often said, "If anyone has ears, let him hear." And just like in the Old Testament, this is not some generic listen up, let your auditory nerves engage with your brain and take in some words. No, this is take to heart what's being said, understand it, live it out. And understanding is a huge part of hearing. You know, just like I've heard all kinds of strange things from my family this year, but it turns out that's not quite what was being said. But Jesus wants people to catch the meaning as well behind what he's saying. And it's a call to spiritually perceive who Jesus is. In Mark 7:14, Jesus urged, "Hear me, everyone, and understand." Everyone has ears, so at least that I've noticed in here, but we don't always use them. And sometimes, as you know, we can be hearers of the word, not doers only. And that's always an issue. Well, the Jews did not understand who Jesus was, and nor did the disciples. The disciples have spent a lot of time with Jesus. He has explained a lot of things to them, and yet it seems like their ears are plugged. It's like they're a little deaf. And not until chapter 8 are they really going to begin to understand who he is. And Peter will say, oh, you're the Christ of God. Now we got it. Well, Jesus is now, we're going to be in Mark chapter 7. He's now in Gentile territory. The question is going to be, are the Gentiles going to be able to hear? I know it's been a while because of Advent, but if we go back in time, Jesus had just interacted with the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was demon-possessed. And it was clear that she understood who Jesus was, and she had faith, and he commended her for it. Well, we're about to see another miracle with a Gentile in Gentile territory. And this time the guy is deaf and pretty much mute. And this miracle is going to have a message. It is going to impact the disciples who have their own problem. They can hear words just fine, but they're spiritually deaf in some areas. And so Jesus is going to say, use your ears to hear, to perceive, and then to do. Let's take a look. Mark 7, verses 31 to 37. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his hands into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha. And he said, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes even the deaf hear and the mute speak. Lord, would you give us understanding? Help us to get the words. Help us to get the meaning. Help us, Lord, to be spiritually attuned to you in this passage today. And then as we seek to live out our lives in light of you. In your name I pray, amen. So Jesus has returned from the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he was up there with the Syrophoenician woman, and then he goes to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. What's really happened is Jesus is kind of zigzagging his way through Gentile territory. It's some people think that he may have been there as many as 8 months. That's a significant amount of time out of his 3-year ministry to invest in Gentiles. I'm so glad Jesus loves the likes of us. Well, he's going on a circuitous journey. It's probably about 120 miles, and he goes north, and then he goes southeast. It's kind of a strange route. It's like if you were to say, I'm going to visit some relatives, and I'm going to go from Trail to San Francisco via Portland. That's kind of what Jesus is doing, but it's on purpose. It's not typical, but that's a typical way to go, but that's how he travels. And he's been with this lady, and then he's been in this 10-city region, the Decapolis. And when he was there before, in Mark 5, he'd healed the demon-possessed man, and the demons all went into the pigs, and the people had said, go away, we don't want you here. This time, though, they're going to seek him out. And it's really interesting that Mark is the only one to really spell out this miracle, but Matthew also seems to set the stage. And in Matthew 15, we read, Jesus went from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put him at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered. And when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. It seems like that's describing what's Mark does, but Mark goes into much greater and, frankly, more exciting detail. We read in verse 32, and they brought to Jesus a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on them. This man has some friends who say, we want to take you to Jesus. But it's interesting, they don't say, would you please heal him? They just say, put their hand on him. But I think the implication is if this amazing person, this Jesus guy touches him, heal is what they'll get. You know, most likely this guy had gone deaf later in life because he was able to talk to some degree. It just sounds like there was a major problem with it. And how would he have learned to talk had he been able to hear originally? It's very likely he was treated poorly in the past, that people would look at him like he was dumb when he tried to speak or when he simply couldn't understand what they were doing. my mom is deaf in one ear, and we have to make sure that we're on the certain side of her so she can hear. But there's been many times where someone who doesn't know this comes up to her and starts talking to her, and she just turns and smiles at them, not knowing that they've been asking her a question, and then they give her a look like, are you a nut job lady or what? And it's been hard, but the fact is, she didn't hear because the Lord didn't give her hearing in one ear. She's not dumb. And that may have been what this guy had gone through over and over. And so people wouldn't have given him the benefit of the doubt. They may have thought he was afflicted by a demon or he'd done something bad in the past and that's why this was what had happened to him. But he's got a real issue. The term here for the speech impediment, the term speech impediment is only used in the New Testament right here. And then in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's only used once in Isaiah. And in that passage, Isaiah 35, it's actually, Isaiah is talking about the future ministry of the Messiah, how he's going to heal folks, and also how he's going to give joy to the Gentiles. Isaiah 35 says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Isaiah is writing 700 years earlier and says, when the Messiah comes and those things start happening, connect the dots. That will be the Messiah. And Mark is talking about, he's stressing this, saying, this day's now. And the cool thing, too, is in Isaiah 35, it talks about the Gentiles having joy, and it mentions Lebanon in that passage. Well, Lebanon in Isaiah is the Tyre and Sidon of Jesus' day. And it talks about the ransom of the Lord, including those in those parts, will enter Zion with singing. Jesus is about to bring joy to a Gentile, and he's going to bring sight to the blind, healing to the sick. He'll bring words to the mute and hearing to the deaf. Clearly, God is on the move in their midst. So cool. Well, what's Jesus do to start out with? He takes him aside privately. Jesus is not wanting to go, hey, watch this, everybody, Shazam. No, he pulls the guy aside. And I think it's also, for one thing, not to make a spectacle, but also because the guy is probably embarrassed and he just, hey, let's just kind of get away and I'll do something for you. This guy already has a struggle and suddenly everyone, he's before Jesus. And so Jesus is really cool in that aspect. And what's Jesus do? Well, he puts his fingers into his ears. This is not Jesus putting his fingers in his own ears. And after spitting, touching his own tongue, I got to admit, that sounds weird to us, but think about it. The guy can't hear. And so talking to him is not really going to help. And so Jesus acts out what he intends to do, so the guy clearly is going to know what happened. So when his ears suddenly hear and his mouth suddenly can speak correctly, and Jesus has just done this, he's going to be like, oh my goodness, yes. He actually touches him, a guy with a problem. And living in the fat of the mouth, you know, he's actually getting in there. Jesus isn't afraid to get close to people. I'm so glad. And Jesus would touch lepers and he would welcome children. He would touch women with bleeding problems. He got up close. This is a beautiful picture of Jesus getting involved. I like the fact he is showing compassion in a tangible way. Well, what's going to happen next? We read he looks up to heaven. Notice he just doesn't attempt to perform the miracle on his own. No, he makes it clear. I'm sure he lifted his hands. He tilted his head back. He made clear he was talking to God and saying, this miracle, this action I'm about to do is only because of what God has done. And then he sighs. He groans deeply. There's strong emotion. There's this compassion essence. I'm sure he's sad because the man is deaf and struggling. I'm sure he's also bothered by the sin and death and pain in this fallen world. It really bothers the Lord what we go through. God looks and he goes, ah, my people are really struggling. You got to think about it. You know, when God sees you, does he sigh? Ah, it may be just because you're sick and it has nothing to do with what you did. It may be you did something dumb and he sees you're struggling, but guess what? He still cares. You know, being physically deaf is no fun, but what's even worse is being spiritually deaf. And so Jesus says to him, Ephphatha, be opened. Mark translates that word, which may be in Aramaic or Hebrew, for his Gentile readers. It's not some gibberish. It's not a magic potion. So if you go around whispering that to people's ear, it's not going to do something wild and wacky. No, it was an actual literal word. It's interesting that the Lord told Moses, who gave man his mouth, who makes him deaf or mute, who gives him sight or blind, is it not I, the Lord? And so Jesus is doing things only God can do. Well, when Jesus says that, what happens in verse 35? The man's ears are open. His tongue was released and he spoke plainly. Bada boom, the guy can hear and he can speak. It's literally saying the chains of his tongue were broken. It's like a fetter that when you're in prison, hopefully you're not, but if you ever are and you're tied up, it's like boom, suddenly they're snapped. And the guy can speak plainly. That doesn't mean, how y'all doing? It means he could articulate and enunciate, and people can understand, and the words he spoke were exactly right. This is really amazing. There is absolute complete healing. No more issues with this guy. Low tones, high tones, mid tones, little kids, you name it. Well, what's Jesus do? He tells everyone, he charges them. Tell no one. The more he charged them, I don't think it means he was running like an elephant at them. No, he's like, don't tell anybody. The more they zealously proclaimed it. They had just seen something amazing, and it was evident to everybody Jesus had done something incredible. So why does he say, be quiet? Well, he doesn't want to be known as the miracle man. And there's this sense throughout the book of Mark of the messianic secret where who Jesus is slowly being revealed, and Jesus doesn't want to reveal it too soon because he doesn't want them to get the wrong idea about who he is. He doesn't want them to try to circumvent the cross, but it will eventually all come out. But unfortunately, when they keep talking, it reveals their heart because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me, and they're not obeying him. The interesting thing now, though, is if we love Jesus, we will tell others, whereas then, don't tell anybody was to love and obey him. And what do they do in verse 37? They are astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. You know, we'd be amazed as well. And when he says, he does all things well, that was reminiscent. That tied into Genesis 1:31. God saw all he made, and it was very good. Keep that in mind. You are made in God's image, and you're good. If you're male and female, you're made good. That's how God wanted it to be. And they're saying, wow, just like what God did when he made the world, this is what this Jesus is doing as well. And then when it says he makes the deaf hear, the mute speak, they're thinking about Isaiah, which I'd read earlier. I go, oh, that's right. When the Messiah comes, he's going to do those things that only God can do. And when he does them, it's going to be obviously that God is here. Wow, this is incredible. I love the fact, too, this is a Gentile that it's happening to. Jesus loves all people. He came for the Jews, he came for Gentiles and everyone else. Well, this story has lots to say to us. It has to do with the healing of a man who is physically unable to hear and who cannot articulate in a normal fashion. But guess what? It also has a lot to do with spiritual hearing. And I think that's Mark's main emphasis. It's a miracle with a message. It's great for this guy, but it's even more important that the disciples learn about hearing with understanding. It's also vital that we get it too. You know, Jesus has given them lots of instruction. He'll tell parables and then he'll pull them alongside and he'll explain them. But their minds are cloudy. It's not gonna be until the resurrection when they finally connect the dots and understand, oh, that's right, remember what he was telling us? Oh, now I get it. Well, it's going to require a miracle for Jesus to raise from the dead. It's going to be a miracle for them to understand. And it's still a miracle for the likes of us to understand. It's God doing the work, in fact. Only the touch of Jesus can enable people to hear, see, understand who he is. Now, a lot of people have hearing problems. And I've told my kids, if you want to make a lot of money, open up a hearing aid clinic right next to the tattoo removal place. And in about 30 years... you're going to do great. But the fact is, people, there's a lot of noises. How many people heard explosions and gunfire on New Year's Eve? Oh, yeah, yeah. I bet not many of them. Here, let me get the earplugs first. No. You know, that's how it was. That's how it is around here. That affects our physical hearing. But think about our spiritual hearing. Things get drowned out, that still small voice. You know, there's the TV, there's busyness, the internet, hobbies, hustle, bustle. there's all kinds of things drawing our attention away from hearing what God would say, whether it be coming to church or being involved in study or reading his word or praying and actually listening, because God does communicate. You know, I know several of you have faced some hearing issues, even in the last weeks, with ear infections, with vertigo. And let's just say it didn't just affect what you heard, it affected your whole body. And it is no fun. And I know you said, this is not good. And this doesn't include half of you that can't hear like me. But anyway, but to transform that man's hearing so that his ear bones and things worked was a miracle, just as it was to open the eyes and the minds of the disciples. Jesus is in the job of healing ears, physical and spiritual. You know, Beethoven went deaf, and I've heard that his last words were, "I shall hear again in heaven." He was looking forward to restoration. But unless you hear God's word on earth, you're not going to hear him in heaven, because you won't be there. Well, Jesus often gets away from the crowd and to talk to his heavenly Father so that he's not distracted. And he pulls his disciples away too, so he can talk with them. We may need this year to get away from a lot of noise. Was there a lot of noise in our world this year? Oh yeah, everybody had their opinion, and we're sharing it some way and the other. And how many of them were truth? Not too many. But we've got to take time to get away to listen. That is so important, because remember, the sheep of Jesus and those who follow and belong to Jesus are a sheep. They listen to him. But you know, it's also important that we communicate who God is in a way people can hear. One game we played on New Year's Eve was reverse charades. It's kind of like charades, except one person guesses and everyone else acts. And it's really fun. That could be part of the solution. Acting out who Jesus is this year could be a really important thing. Acting out in a way that they can understand, not only through language, but through acts of kindness. We're going to take a look and see how Jesus used both words and works to bring healing. In verses 33 and 34, Jesus took him aside from the crowd privately. There's this notion of privacy. Now, by getting the man away, Jesus could concentrate and give him full attention and also keep the guy from being embarrassed. Sometimes it's better to talk to people in private. I've always had better conversations at Shy's when there's nobody there but me and the person across the table from me. That may be something we think about. Phone works good in this time as well. Also, Jesus put his fingers in his ears and spitting touched his tongue. That's not what I'm recommending, but proximity is huge. Being close to people. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't recoil from sinful, diseased humanity? He got right in there. It means so much when we're close. And sometimes physical things, even at time of COVID, are important. Jesus could have just stood from a distance and gone, boom. Or just thought it and the guy would have been healed. But no, he jumps in there and he gets close. That's really a picture of his incarnation. You know, there's times where I don't want to be in close proximity to people. They don't smell well. They don't look quite right. I'd just rather not deal with them. But sometimes that's what I'm called to do. True compassion just doesn't feel, oh, I feel bad for that guy over there. It may be me walking and getting closer to them. In the 1950s, there was a lot of leprosy in central Thailand, and there were zero believers. Well, much as they tried to share the gospel, no one would listen. And it wasn't until the nurses came in and began to wash the lepers' feet that people began to notice and pay attention. You see, leprosy in Thailand was viewed as something really bad, because it is, but it was viewed as extra bad because you must have been some nasty old pervert in the past life, because look what's happened to you now. Your body is literally falling apart. And so when these foreign nurses would come in and wash the foot, the lowest part of the body, according to the Thai worldview, ulcerated, decaying, toes falling off feet, when they would wash and care for them and bandage them and love them and communicate with these folks, they gave their hearts to Jesus. And then as their lives were changed, no, their toes didn't grow back, but their lives were changed and they radiated the joy of Jesus. That's how a church began, in a needy area, with touch, with proximity, with imitating Jesus. You know, We may need to get close to people that may be difficult. They may need a hand on the shoulder or a hug, virus or no virus. You know, also, what did Jesus do? He looked up to heaven. There was prayer. There was prayer. He stayed in communication constantly with his Father. The only time that communication was broken was when the Father turned his back because our sin was laid on Jesus. Jesus kept his eyes on him. You know, and if we are going to have an impact on people so they can hear the words of God, we're going to have to be talking with God. Someone said, if we would give sight to the blind, we must ourselves be gazing into heaven. Then he sighed. He sighed. There's this notion of compassion or passion. There's this deep feeling. Jesus cared for this guy. And people don't care how much you know until they know if you care. And when Jesus healed Lazarus, he was moved in spirit and greatly troubled. And that word kind of relates to a horse snorting. You ever seen a horse snort? You know, their whole body shakes. And it's like a deep sigh will impact us. Jesus was impacted. And people will know if we really care what's going on in their lives. Christ felt the pain. You know, I've had to ask myself, how much do I weep over how COVID's affected people who've lost jobs, who've lost homes, who've lost loved ones, who've lost hope and despair? You know, the stats, 349,000, yawn. Oh, wait a second. There's a person behind there and a family there. You know, in this fractured, divisive world, a little compassion goes a long ways. But Jesus also opened his mouth. He didn't just do works. He actually spoke. He said, be open. There was a proclamation. There are times we need to actually share who Jesus is. It's good to be in proximity. It's good to have compassion. It's good to do all these things. But we've also got to open our mouths. Jesus didn't mean to speak, but he did. We have to speak because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We also need to act and let our light shine so people will see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. So let's be sensitive to folks. Maybe speak to them in private, maybe not. Let's be willing to get in close proximity, physically or at least on the phone. Be bending someone's ear. Tap into God's power through prayer. Be moved by situations, show compassion, and then actually share his news, proclaiming it. Keep in mind that physical and spiritual ears take a miracle if they're to hear right, but that's never stopped God before. Think about it this year. If you're not hearing from God, are your ears plugged up by something? And what might that be? I almost taped a Q-tip to inside of every bulletin, but I forgot about that. You know, you may need to have them unplugged. Better yet, ask God to unplug them. He may be trying to talk to you and you've been busy doing something else. Is your speech slurred and unintelligible? Well, maybe you need to know God's word a little better. Maybe you should practice sharing the gospel with your spouse so when you have a chance with someone else, you can. I know in 2021, I've got some things to do. I've got to protect the hearing I've got left. I've got to put down the paper, fold the computer shut, and give my kids and my wife my full attention. I have to ask them to repeat. I have to be a little more patient at the door. In the meantime, I'm going to need you to do me a favor. Speak to me where I can see you. And if you think I'm ignoring you, tap me on the shoulder. Maybe I didn't hear you. But more important, you know, than my physical ears, it's going to be my spiritual ears. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. I want to listen. I not only want to hear him say it, I want to carry it out and do so. And actually act on it. I hope you'll do that as well. And I'm praying too that God will open my mouth so I can share how good God is. Because I want my world to know who Jesus is. And may that be your desire as well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears so we may clearly see and clearly hear who you are and what you're doing. And Lord, help us to respond. Lord, in your wonderful, strong, powerful, good name that we can trust completely, no matter what comes in the year ahead, we give you thanks. Amen.